This evening, I want to explain about empathy in medicine, which is a process. Can you hear me?
No.
No, okay. Empathy. Empathy means which is practiced this evening. Some of you must have joined the ceremony, and some of you must have seen it. But before I explain about Sampati Nenji, I want to explain what is our practice and what will be each one of your practice of each one of you should be or will be. Before everyone, before we become Buddhist, you are lay Buddhist. And before you become lay Buddhist, you are layman, which does not belong to member of Buddhist. Now, can you hear me? Member of Buddhist. So, non-Buddhist people and Buddhist. And Buddhist can be classified in four. Lay Buddhist. Lay Buddhist man and lay Buddhist woman, and maybe layman and lay woman, and nun and priest. Those are five classes of Buddhist group. We have four groups. And if a layman accepts Buddhist precepts, if a usual person accepts precepts, you become Buddhist. And I have been explaining what is precept. So, tonight I will not talk about it. But if you become Buddhist, what kind of practice you will have is next thing. Is the thing I want to talk to start with. So for layman who receive the precept, it is necessary for you to keep precept. The most important one is precept is three refuges. I take refuge in the Buddha, I take refuge in the Dhamma, I take refuge in the Sangha. And you repeat this practice in your everyday life. But it is too much to explain tonight about it. Three refugees. To receive the three refugees is to have right understanding of our life. It is the same thing, to have right understanding of our life and to receive three refugees is the same thing. So, when you have a right understanding of human life, as it is, then you are said to be accepted, to have accepted Buddha's precepts. So nothing special, nothing special practice, but usual practice. And you will have right understanding about our life. But as you, as long as you remain layman or laywoman, you have to live in more dualistic world, good or bad, right or wrong, fast or slow, successful or unsuccessful. And sometimes, or I'm sorry to say, but most of the time, dualistic life goes first, maybe. And you don't have not much time to have calm, peaceful mind. But the difference between non-Buddhist and Buddhist is you know how our life should be. You know that we have no self-nature and we don't exist as a person who has self-nature. We cannot be egoistic. We feel as if we could be very egoistic, but actually you know that is not possible. But even though you know, as you are layman, most of the time you have no time to forget about your dualistic life. So dualistic practice goes first. So for a layman, some practice like reserver is maybe better for someone. Rinzai practice is very dualistic. So that will give you some strength to encourage non-dualistic side more. And to fight with dualistic idea, to forget all about until you can forget all about dualistic way of life, even for a moment. That is so called kensha. But that is, just even though you have kensha, you do not have a Buddhist life completed. You just took a glance of your Buddha nature, which is not egoistic. You just experienced a little bit about non-egoistic life. But it doesn't last because you are so busy and you are deeply involved in usual life, usual way of life. That is, more, that is layman or layman's practice. Sort of way, how then sort of way help a layman is let you follow non-dualistic way of life, like Tathāgata. Many laymen participate in practice, which is not dualistic, and which put more emphasis on non-dualistic practice. So, if you follow sort of way, even though you do not feel you have a grasp of the non-dualistic experience, more and more your life will be non-dualistic because our way of practice, where we set up our practice is according to the non-dualistic way of Buddha. That is why we sort of school put more emphasis on how to eat, how to drink, how to walk or how to walk. How to recite sutra. So all those rituals set up by sutra teachers are based on non-dualistic ideas. So following non-dualistic way of life in Buddhist school, more and more you will be familiar with non-dualistic life. the sort of way as you may have noticed. do not, is not so realistic, and we do not encourage students so strictly working or shouting. We don't use, you know, speak so much. I have one, but I don't use so much as Buddha Master made to use it. Because we have not much, our practice is based on non-dualistic way. So teacher thinks, if teacher is very sincere, naturally, you know, student will be sincere. That student is treating means the teacher is treating. Non-duality. Teacher and student, one. So when student treats, teacher treats. When teacher treats, student treats.
I got
you. When student says, wake up, teacher will wake up. That is something like sort of way. And that is why we put more emphasis on how to offer incense, or how to work, or how to eat. How it is so is very difficult to, maybe very difficult to understand for beginners. But when you have some experience, you will understand difference between Soto and Rinpoche. And both Soto and Rinpoche have its own advantage. But both Rinpoche and Soto, anyway, main point of practice is not to attain enlightenment, but the life after you attain enlightenment. You know, like Buddha, practice 6 years. And like Bodhidharma, practice 9 years, even though they have enlightenment. That is a good example of Buddhist practice. Not only Soto and Rinpoche, but also all the schools of Buddhism put emphasis on everyday life of life of Buddhism. As long as Buddhism is for people, it should be like that. So difference between Rinzai or Soto or Shin school or Tendai or Shinran is, you know, the entrance is different, but if you enter the gate of Buddhism, what you, the way of life you have are not different. Mm. style, you know. Thought and photo study. I think some practice means that is very, if you see some practice means, you will understand that is practice. Especially when Ino says, I have. Do you have the translation? Sampati Nenji? Do you have it there? Since after. Do you have it? Okay. After we clean up Zendo and Adins and everything, we observe Sampati Nenji. San means three. Hachi means eight. And every three days, three and eight days, the third, the 8th, 30th, 80th, 23rd, 28th, before Shukunichi, 4 and 9 days. 4 and 9 days is the day we have no doksan. My holiday. But people understand that 4 and 9 days is the day when we have no schedule. But strictly speaking, wholesome means no doksan. San is doksan san. No doksan. And 4 and 9 days. Nowadays we do not have, not much dozen practice, but we can practice dozen if you like. But most people understand 4 or 9 days is the day when we have no schedule. But it is not right understanding. Doksan means to see students personally. Dok means personally or alone or independently. Doksan is to visit teacher. So, before Dorien Zenji, first of all, when he was studying at Rinzai Monastery, under Eisho, he studied Koan practice too. And he went to China with Nyosen, a disciple of Eisho. He went to China. And he attained the enlightenment under Eisai Zenji. And after that, to have more mature practice, he continued his training, his practice. And since Eisai Zenji passed away, and since he thought there's no more good teacher in Japan, so he went to China and continued his practice. And when he met Myojo Zenji, he had great confidence in his practice, and he had this confidence in his non-selfish practice, and he set up how to have non-selfish practice, how to set up non-selfish practice for himself and for his disciples. Of course, God's rules is not set up only by Dogen Zenji. God's rules actually set up maybe 8th century in China by Hyakujo Shin. Because of the severe persecution we have, unfortunately, his rules doesn't exist anymore. But there are many rules after Hyakujo Zenji. We can see the quotation from Hyakujo Shin. So we can know what kind of setup Hyakujo made. So he gathered, he followed Hyakujo Shin and carefully, not only Hyakujo Shin, studying Buddhist precepts. We have a school of precepts. Precepts of the observing school. They are only studying precepts. So Dogen Zenji studied precepts, various precepts, by precepts text of precepts. And he carefully set up. Non-dualistic way of life for monks and them. He says, as long as you are Buddhist, whether you are layman or monk, it is necessary to observe the first principle first, the next principle, the second principle next. Do you understand? The first principle goes first, and second principle by the first principle. First principle means non-dualistic way. The second principle is a good means to lead people to the first principle. So it is a little bit more dualistic. when you don't know which way you should take, which way should be more important, then you should put more emphasis on the first place, and not the second principle of the duality. Yes. Listen carefully, everyone. Will you do this?
Listen carefully, everyone. 24 centuries, 67 years ago, the great Tathagata entered Nirvana. When this day is gone, also life thereby decreases. Like a fish in a puddle, what pleasure is there here? A man has to practice constantly as if to save himself from fire. Mindful of changes to see the path with diligence and care. Throughout the temples, the Dharma is safely residing, bringing man peace. All goers in 10 directions know the increase of joy, the growth of wisdom. Thus, mindful of this occasion, gratefully we chant the name of Buddha.
Do you understand? It says, listen carefully, everyone. 24 centuries, 57 years ago, the great Tathagata entered Nirvana. When this day is gone, also life thereby decrease. Our life therefore, thereby decrease. Like a fish in a puddle, what pleasure is there here? A man is to practice constantly, as if to save his head from fire. Mindful of transiency, pursue the path with diligence and care. You know, here it says, when this day is gone, our life thereby decrease. Like a fish in a puddle, what pleasure is there here? You know, our dualistic life of pleasure, dualistic pleasure, and we students or people who live in the dualistic life is like a fish who lives in a puddle. From Buddhist viewpoint, our worldly life is so small, like a puddle. In a puddle, you know, we are trying to be successful and seeking for pleasure. But is there any pleasure in a muddy puddle? Yes, please. And when you hear it in monastery, with your friend who is practicing non-dualistic practice. You will see me that way. But in the sitting, you know, you may not see me that way. What does he say? What does it mean? He is living in the father, not me. But we put emphasis more on first principle, the way of life, to follow the first principle, which is forever, which exists everywhere, not only human life, but also for all sentient beings. That is the life of the first principle. So day and night. So if our life, if in our life, always first principle goes first. And if we take care of our practice, like a man whose head is on fire, or a man whose head on fire, should jump into sand or spring. And save your head. We should practice so hard as a man on his head trying to extinguish the fire. When we practice the first principle in the monastery, everyone will have complete joy to participate it and to join and to see people practicing the first principle which exists forever. That is, you know, good example of sort of practice. But if you do not practice our way, like the man who said he's on fire, it does not mean so much. So we must be completely involved in our practice, and we should always put the first principle first. That is, the practice after you have attainment or enlightenment. And even though you haven't attained enlightenment, if you join the practice of the first principle more and more without knowing when you attain enlightenment, eventually you will attain enlightenment. So it is, for a sort of thing, it is okay, not okay, but it is permissible to enter the monastery without attaining enlightenment. Eventually, we will attain enlightenment. The difference between the people who have attained enlightenment and who haven't is whether you realize your hat on your head or not. sometimes in hugging his own heart on his head. He must seek for his own heart. Where is my heart? But that's where he is. The heart is on his head. Anyway, we have Buddha nature. But most people do not feel in that way. I'm seeking for Buddha nature somewhere else. Maybe it is right to seek for treasure when you have a lot of jewels and diamonds in his pocket. Well, I must have some valuable jewels that he has in his pocket. But until he knows, he finds out the jewel in his pocket, he made his story. That is famous parable. So anyway, we will find out our own treasure. And that is our precepts too. Precepts is nothing but treasure you have. But when you receive it as if you receive something special from Buddha. But actually, more and more, oh, this is a treasure we have had. That is how you feel when you have complete enlightenment. Before, maybe when I was young, maybe 30, 40 years, Buddhists couldn't people didn't think Buddhist teaching is so helpful teaching for them because they were involved in the second principle. Which is more dualistic way of life. And they were so interested in it. Materialistic civilization. So they have no time to study Buddhism. But recently, the situation is like this. More and more, many people started to interest in what is ultimate reality. What will be, what should be our life. More and more people put the first principle, put more emphasis on the first principle. If you know what is the first principle, the second principle could be the first principle too. In that way, you can help people without giving any harmless living. Without giving any fancy talk. If you talk about how things exist, what kind of nature we have, and what is the difficult point in our practice, what kind of effort we should make, then that is the only way to help people in its true sense. That is just perfect, you know. You don't have to feel that way. Yes. If your head is on fire, it's terrible. But usually we are so lazy, so Buddha. told you in that way. That's all. That is just perfect. You don't have to take literally. You have great effort to obtain calmness of your mind. Okay? Hi.
What is reality between reality and being?
Reality. Reality is, you know, this is again just my explanation, you know, or traditional explanation of the reality. But actually, you have to feel by yourself. But reality, you say, reality has two sides. Always two sides. So when you think about it, it is contradictory. One side of it is very calm, and the other side is very restless and noisy and realistic. But spiritually speaking, if you have eyes to see something which looks like realistic, is not actually realistic. So when you see things in that way, it means that you have calmness of your mind, and your mind is not fixed to one-sided view. Or you are not interested in just one sided view. You may listen to someone, this body is so noisy. Oh yes, it is. Very noisy, isn't it? It is very hot. Yes, it is hot. Someone may say, although it is hot, isn't it nice to have hot weather? Oh yes, it is. You know, it looks like realistic. But actually, for him, hot weather is also good. But for someone who likes early cool and nice and cool weather, and hot weather is dreadful, horrible. The same thing could be, you know, something agreeable and something disagreeable. So when whether it is dualistic or non-dualistic, it's up to the person who observes things. So actually, duality means to have calmness of your mind. Okay. Another question?
How can you say some things are dualistic and others are not?
Again, it is, you know, even though it looks like dualistic, for someone who knows are practicing non-dualistic practice, something dualistic is not dualistic. But when you do not know anything about non-duality, it is really dualistic.
Isn't everything both dualistic and non-dualistic at the same time?
At the same time. Or you can say that nothing can be just dualistic or just non-dualistic. But you think dualistic. Your way of observation is dualistic most of the time. So things is not, itself is not dualistic. So when you are able to see things as it is not dualistic. That is why I said it is like a hat which is on your head. Sometimes you feel you have a heart. Sometimes you don't feel so. That is why we must have practice. And even though you have tensho, you arrive still could be dualistic. You cannot, you know, you cannot be a Buddha in one night, in one minute. It is not possible. Your karma doesn't allow you to be so.
Why are we
dead to glory? Why not? Why not? I don't know exactly. I think we have to study more. But we are very greedy anyway. maybe more important thing is maybe not to be so greedy. It will give you strength. But even though you eat something very good, if you become greedy. It will hurt you. That is very true. And if we are very much, materialistic, you know. So spiritual side is forgotten. Even though you eat something good always, it doesn't hurt so much. Unless your mind is very calm, and unless your tongue is very strong, calm and strong, it doesn't hurt so much. Why I say so is, you know, usually, if you eat meat and fish a lot, then you think you get a lot of nourishment. But it is not always so. When I went to a Heiji monastery, food at that time, recently, in Heiji food is, I thought, pretty good. But before it was very poor food. Morning time, goma siro and guru, rice, white rice guru, and pita, that's all. And at lunch, we had rice mixed with wheat. That is pretty good food. But not much vegetables, but seaweed. Seaweed, miso soup, and pickle. And dinner. What we had was rice soup again, and soy beans. That's all. And pickles sometimes. Most of the time, soy beans and rice soup. That's all. So we thought, how is it possible to survive in such a poor food? So what we did is to have a lot of it. We ordered more, and so the journey we put a lot of rice. But rice soup cannot be like this. But as much as possible, we read it to feel more. In 1 month, almost all the students went to hospital. All this not excessive in one month. And after that, with the same food, we gain weight. Much more, we weigh much more than when we were in the city. I don't know why. The food is not complete. But if your mind is very calm, then food helps you a lot. So it is a kind of superstition, you know, kind of greediness to think meat and fish, which tastes good and healthy. It's a kind of superstition, I think. When I was young, I already I could go beyond this kind of superstition. So I can eat anything as someone eats. If someone eats, I can eat anything. Okay. And if you taste it, every food is pretty good, you know. Every food has its own taste. Because you add too much salt or too much seasoning or sugar, it ruins its own flavor and taste. So if you just eat it, like medicine, or no, when you take medicine, you that is the way. But if you taste it carefully, it is pretty good. And when you feel it is good, it will help you. Maybe that is super simple. All this time. Okay.